I want to bring a word to you simply titled gratitude. In these days that we've come to in 2014, as Thanksgiving is a week or so away, I don't think you can ever talk about Thanksgiving too much, because every ounce of our existence, when you properly understand it, should elicit thanks and praise to our God, for He's responsible for this, for all of this, all of this. Years ago, I remember at one point I would get up to, I was leading worship at one point, and it was here, and I felt that I was struggling in the worship. I just felt like I was struggling leading worship. And the Holy Spirit said something just so simple. I mean, so simple, just to free me up. He says, "Aren't you glad that all of this is not dependent on you? Aren't you glad?" I said, because it's not your responsibility to get people to worship. Hello? It's not your responsibility. Son, that's me working in them. And so you just get up and you just focus on me and get lost. Don't worry about the people. And I tell you what, when after he said that, I said, well, bless God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you want to stand there and not get engaged, that's between you and him. But I tell you what, this boy right here, hallelujah, I got so much. I said, thank you, Jesus. And so I just went to praising God and just got free in my worship, you see. So we so desperately need to hear from God. And every turn in the scriptures, what I love about this compilation of books we call the Bible is that every ounce of it is about him. Amen. It's about Jesus. It's about God and his work toward man. I want to turn to a familiar passage of scripture in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. And we're going to look at the 10 lepers. And the gratitude or lack thereof. that was resident in this passage of scripture. I haven't ministered on this. I've mentioned it, but I haven't ministered particularly on this passage of scripture in a number of years. So I wanted to go over it again. Father, we thank you now for the word of truth. We thank you, O God, that the only thing that really matters is what you have said in the whole existence here. And so, Father, as we come to your word, help us to hear then you speaking again. Lord, for when you speak, life blooms. Lord, when you speak, our lives are changed and the world is turned upside down. And so, Father, Lord, I pray that each one of your sheep, Lord, would hear the shepherd's voice, would hear what you're saying to them. Holy Spirit, minister that particular word that's coming to your children today. Lord, I thank you for what we'll hear generally. But Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're speaking specifically to hearts here today in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Luke chapter 17, we will start in verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as you would understand, that Galilee between Galilee in the north and Jerusalem a bit in the south, Samaria was in the middle. So he had to pass by there. In between the two, in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now, you've read your Old Testament. You know the story. You know how leprosy was dealt with in the Old Testament. If you had it, then you couldn't dwell, definitely not in the city. You couldn't dwell in the village. You had to dwell on the outskirts. When Israel was in the wilderness, he had to dwell outside the camp. And not only that, but if anyone was to approach you, you had to cover your mouth and holler, unclean, unclean. And so there were regulations about how those who had contracted this disease was to be handled. Now, we remember also that in this time, there was no cure for leprosy, right? They're much better at treating it today. You can isolate people and treat them, and they can get better. But in this day, there was no treatment for leprosy. Not only that, the stigma associated with it was that when you got it because, well, you remember Miriam, when Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses, the Lord said, the Lord smote her with leprosy. So leprosy was not only was it a disease, but it was also sometimes could point to the hand of judgment of God upon a life. So when a person contracted leprosy, it was quite a bad situation. So you have Jesus and his entourage, if you will, the multitude or whoever is with him, walking up to this village, and you have these 10 lepers, and at some point, them being outside of the village, standing afar off, they would have been required to say, unclean, unclean. And wow, what a set of circumstances for those who had contracted leprosy. Now, I must say that, you know, that what is leprosy a type of in the Bible? We all know. Leprosy is a type of sin. It's symbolic of sin, right? And how so? Well, it was something that appeared, a sore would appear on the flesh. But if a sore appeared on the flesh, guess what it meant? It meant something, the leprosy was in the flesh. Hallelujah. And sin is not something that's just, that appears on the surface. How many of you know that? Sin is something that is the reason why you see it on the surface is because it's on the inside. And so when people who were stricken with this, you can imagine that when you're stricken with this, you had to stay away. There was protocol. So when we look at this, there is that dual symmetry, that parallelism, that as we look at leprosy, that there's also spiritually that sin component. What we notice here is that Jesus is coming to this village. And the thought crosses the mind that if Jesus had not come to this village, the chances of these men ever being clean would have been zilch. Zero. Nada. Nothing. Would have been no chance of them being clean. So it is in your life, in my life, that if Jesus did not come and visit you. Come on now. If he didn't come down on the streets of Vienna and get in this boy's heart, if he didn't come, there was no chance that I was going to find cleansing anywhere else. No chance, you see? And so for these men, this story is quite a story as we would look at it. The Old Testament says that they were standing afar off because Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 read this way. Now, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Man, when I read that, I thought to myself, dear God in heaven, if you did not do something for that leper, listen at the conditions of their life. I mean, when you look at the characteristics, I talked about the sore on the flesh speaking to a deeper corruption in their own flesh. The sore on the flesh meant that there was a disease in the flesh. It was a condition that the leper could not change. Oh, my, my, my. You ever have something about your life you can't change? Here the leper is in a condition, in a state he cannot affect. He has no say in the matter. He has this condition, and if God doesn't do something, he will live that way and die that way. All right? And so he had the sore, but it also says that his clothes shall be torn. You know, in your old, your new, oh, your King James Version, it says your clothes shall be rent. A showing of great sorrow and grief and mourning was when they would tear their clothes upon hearing some just horrible news. Well, the scripture says that the leper was always living with torn or rent clothes. Why? Because the sorrow. You see, the leprosy would start to infest your flesh, and then it would work its way into your nerves, and it would destroy you from the inside out. It would even begin to affect your bones. It affects your nervous system. We often hear of lepers in leper colonies in India and other places going to sleep at night and waking up in the morning missing a digit, a finger, because a rat came in and ate their finger off. And because the nerves were already dead because of leprosy, they couldn't feel it. Falling into the fire, having a limb in the fire, not knowing it, and having an infection. All of these things, the case as it relates to sin is extreme. But not only that, as we just read in Leviticus chapter 13, the state or the condition of a leper's life, everyone, not only were you to have your clothes torn, which represent extreme sorrow, but you didn't wear a head covering. And even Jews today, men will wear the, I believe it's called a yarmulke, I forget what it's called, but they'll wear a head covering. They were not to wear head coverings. And, you know, in these days, you know, they wore all kinds of jewels and all of these things. They were not to wear that. But not only that, the scripture says that he shall cover his mouth, cover his mustache, and cry, unclean, unclean. Now, here's the thing about this. If you had a debilitating disease, if you had something so wrong with you that it was going to kill you and you couldn't change it, the last thing you'd want to do is say, hey, I'm the one. I got it. But according to the law, you had to tell everyone, unclean, unclean. Not only did you have leprosy, not only were you affected by sin, but you had to tell everybody, I'm a sinner. It's to be the same thing. Right. We see it every day. Matter of fact, half the news that we watch, half the stuff we call entertainment, right, is nothing more than a sinner saying, I'm a sinner. Right. They're saying, I'm unclean, unclean. The thoughts of Bill Cosby come to my mind with the latest things that have come out about it. If you don't know, it's not pretty, but it's true. And it's someone covering their mustache and saying, unclean, unclean. And yet, not only him, but every person who's ever lived has to cover the mustache and say, look, I'm unclean. When you meet Mr. Razzle Dazzle and you meet Miss Beautiful and everything, she got to cover her mustache. Don't be surprised when she steps back and says, unclean, unclean. Come on, y'all, laugh with me now. I'm trying to help you now. Amen. Unclean. Everyone at a distance had to be told that you were in such a condition so that they could avoid you. That was the reason of them saying unclean, was so that we could avoid you. Think about the conditions of a leper. The scripture also says in Leviticus 13, he shall dwell alone. Alone. What did I say earlier God made us for? He made us for relationships. Yes. But the leper had to dwell alone. Lepers lived alone. And this aloneness, this loneliness was and is due to the effects of sin. They were lonely because of the leprosy that they had, you see. And in the body of Christ, when we come together, the one thing that God, the thing that God loves so much, brethren, how blessed, how good, and how pleasant it is. Isn't that what Psalm 133 says? When brethren dwell together in unity. God loves it so much. He says that wherever two or three of you gather together, there I am where? The mix. God loves it when we come together. Why? Because we are members one of another, and members in particular. But let me make no mistake about it. Your life is part of mine and mine is part of yours. Come on now. We don't live as an island unto ourselves. We are a body. And I need you and you need me. It's the way he made it. He loves it that way. But here for the leper, here for the sinner, guess where you find yourself? All alone. All alone. And so when we're mingling out there amongst sinners, guess what? They are lonely. They are lonely. Not only that, but lepers were to live outside of the general population. So even though lepers were together, they had to live. They lived outside of the camp, but they couldn't be anywhere in the city or anywhere in the village. At least the woman with the issue of blood could go through the crowd. And now, she was unclean, but she didn't have to cover the mustache and tell anybody. She got healed up close, you see. And but the lepers, a very bad situation. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voice." They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, so as these men, whatever, at some point said, we're unclean," they cry out. They find out that it's Jesus there in this crowd approaching the village, and they say, they call him Jesus. They call him Master or Rabbi. Have mercy upon us. What do we see here? The presence of Jesus caused the lepers to cry out. It's the presence of Jesus that will cause a sinner to call upon Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Any man, no man cometh unto me except the Father who sent me draws him." And so you can't call on him until Jesus comes. But once he comes, guess what? Jesus! People cry out. And this is what we pray for. When we're out and about, wherever we are, we're going to share the gospel. We're going to minister Christ's love. Wherever it is, we're praying and we're waiting for the Holy Spirit. We're waiting to see him move so that that person can cry out to Jesus. But make no mistake about it. If Jesus hadn't been there in the crowd, all them other people would have had nothing for those lepers. But Jesus was there. All right. So now why did they cry out? Well, it was common knowledge. In Luke chapter 5, there was a man who was Jesus healed of leprosy. Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest and don't tell anybody." What did that leper do? Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest. Don't tell anybody." He went out. You'd have thought Jesus said evangelize the whole continent, because he went out and blazed it up. "Hey, y'all. Y'all look at me. I'm bold." Come on now. He told everybody, so much so that Jesus withdrew into the wilderness and just prayed. He just spent time in prayer, because he couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't step foot anywhere to preach because people wanted healing. But these lepers knew. So that would be a clue as to how they knew. But they knew that it was Jesus, and they cried out because it was common knowledge that Jesus could heal a leper. Not only could he, but that he would. Because that leper in Luke chapter 5 came to him and said, "Master, if thou art willing, you can heal me." And Jesus said, "I am willing. Be healed." And he was healed in an instant. Now, that was going around. And those 10 lepers said, "That's Jesus. Jesus! What would you do? What would you do? You'd be screaming at the top of your blind Bartimaeus, get this cover off me. Jesus!" They said, shut up. Jesus, be quiet. Jesus, then he hollered till Jesus stopped. Come on. When you need Jesus, when you know that the healer, when you know that the dead man raiser is walking by and you dead and you know you dead, you're going to say, Jesus, help me, Lord. And you know, if Jesus will stop. The Syrophoenician woman came and just said, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. The disciple said, "Man, get this woman away from us. She's crying after us." Jesus said, "I was not sent by anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He goes on. She cries after, comes and worships him and says, "Lord, please, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." He says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the little dogs." She says, "True, Lord, yet the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus said, woman, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as you've asked. And so her daughter was healed because she cried out. Because she cried out. And so these lepers are saying, Jesus, we know who you are. Have mercy on us. You know what we need to do? We need to make it common knowledge that Jesus is the healer of sinners. If they knew that Jesus was the healer of lepers, we need to make it common knowledge. Hey, Jesus can heal that. Huh? Oh, yeah, Jesus can heal that. He can heal that. He can take care of that. He can do that, too. You say, well, how do you know he can do all this? How much time do you have? Let me tell you where he found me. I was tore up, messed up. I'm telling you, Jesus healed me of this. He's healing me of this. He's doing this. Come on. We need to make it known. Now, when these lepers called out to Jesus, I'm sure that they expected Jesus to do somewhat of what Naaman thought Elisha should do. You remember when Naaman goes to Elisha to be healed? And Elisha doesn't even get up out of his chair in his house. He's sitting by the fire enjoying himself. And he tells a servant to go to this great military general. Tell him to go dip 7 times in that dirty old nasty Jordan River and he'll be healed. And Naaman, but see, Naaman's expectations, his expectations were off. And listen, everybody comes to Jesus with expectation. Come on now. Well, listen. When you and I come to Jesus, we come to Jesus with expectations. Come on. When we first began to agree for the grams and for this work permit, we came and blessed God. We're going to just pray and it's done. I'll decree a thing and it shall be done unto you. And we prayed and said, that's it. Hallelujah. Amen. In the next week. That's not it. Come on. And we prayed again. And it's done. And they come back another month and it's not done. See, we have expectations. Everybody comes to God with expectations. How are you coming? How are we coming to God, right? So these lepers come to him and they expect him to heal them. First, right? Well, what we're about to see. But you know, if we come to Jesus with expectations, guess what? Jesus comes to us with expectation. Hello? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, see, of those who diligently seek him. He has expectations. And so verse 14 says this. So when he, Jesus, saw them, he said to them, be healed. No. Do you have a Bible? That is not what he said. Now let me. When you go to Jesus with a problem, what do you expect him to do? You expect him to solve the problem. You don't expect him to send you somewhere with the problem unsolved. Hello? So these lepers come, and Jesus says to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now it says, and so it was as they went, they were cleansed. But let's forget that for right now. Let's deal with what the law said. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. The day of cleansing is when the leprosy is no more. There's no hair there with a yellow spot around it and is deeper than the skin and all this they talk about in Leviticus. You're clean. And so now you just go on to the priest so the priest can look at you and say, okay, you're clean. Go back to your family and, you know, you're all happy and everything. These men are not clean yet. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Now, when we come to Jesus, we come with expectation. Right. But when he comes to us, guess what he's expecting? Faith. Because he said to the lepers, go show yourselves to the priest. Now imagine it now. Hold on. Now, but you here you had a leprosy, broke out all and you hobbling, and all the rest of it. And he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Yes. But now we said this last week. Lord, help me to get this. I pray, I said, Father, help me. Because, you know, these little boys, we can be so. Listen, when God says something, the moment he says it, it's done. Oh, thank you. Oh, Lord, help us. Help. I don't think you can. Listen, when he says it, it's done. You say, well, wait a second. How come I don't see it if it's done? Well, you okay. Oh, Jesus, let's go. Let's look. Okay. So so God said to Abraham, when he met with Abraham, and Carl and I was talking about this yesterday. God comes to Abraham, he says, as for me, my covenant is with you. Now, Lord, help me not to mess this up. So let me share a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. God comes to, this is Genesis 22, but in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, God came to Abraham and he said this. He said this, I want you to leave your country, leave your family, go out to a place that I'll send you. He says, because in blessing thee, I will bless thee, and I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Anyone who blesses you shall be blessed. Anyone who curses you shall be cursed. I'm going to give you this land, so forth and so on. When God said that to Abraham, it was done. But now watch this. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18 says this. In all your seed, God speaking to Abraham, this is Genesis 22, verse 1, is when the Bible says, now God tested Abraham, told him to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, take him up on the mountain, offer him as a sacrifice. This is after that. Okay, God says to Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, listen, because you obeyed my voice. Now listen, the moment God speaks something, it's done. As far as he's concerned, when is it done for us? When we obey. Amen. When we obey what he said. Watch this. So he said, Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. As far as Jesus is concerned, finish. It's done. When is it done for the lepers? When you start to go and obey his command. For you, it's done. But God, when he said it, it's done. Psalms 33 says, he commanded it and it stood fast. He decreed it and it was established. See, we have this saying. We have sayings like this. This is what we say. We say, brother, that's easier said than done. I said, yeah, that's with humans. We say, oh, brother, that's easier said than done. With God, it's every day. When he says it, it's done. See, when God said, let there be light, whoosh, and all the astrophysicists say that all of this came, all of the universe was birthed in a trillionth of 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 a second. So we don't understand that. Yeah, that's because when God said, let there be light, it is. It's done. Okay? So when Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, it was already finished. He already provided it. When Jairus came about his servant at home, he says, my servant is at home. And Jesus says, go, your servant is healed. He gets home and he asked him, what time did he get healed? He said, about yesterday, about the seventh hour. And it says, then he knew it was the same time that Jesus had said to him, your servant was healed. When God speaks, that moment it's done. It's finished. It's finished. God help us to understand this. Because, beloved, God still speaks today. He speaks to us, right? So in Genesis, let's see. Genesis 26. Look, watch this. God's speaking now to, who is this? Genesis 26, that's Jacob. Isaac and Jacob. Genesis 26, this would be Isaac, verses 3 through 5. Dwell in this land and I will be with you. Now listen, this is God speaking. Now when I said, I didn't say it, it's just that the scripture bears this out. But when God speaks, it's done, right? This is God speaking to Isaac. Dwell in this land. Now he's telling Isaac to do something. What's going on here is there's a famine in the land. And when there are famines, you know, remember, what's her name? Naomi and them, they left and went into the land of the Philistines. I forget where they were. So they went to another country, Moabites, okay? Children of Israel would usually pick up and go somewhere. When the famine came here in America, people got up and, you know, left. We had recession and everything. People were making all kinds of moves, trying to get here and they get anywhere. God said to Isaac, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. Listen, when God speaks to you and he speaks to me and we don't do what he says, at that moment we forfeit the blessing that was in the word that he gave to us. It's called the blessings of obedience. So that moment, okay? So he's speaking to Isaac and he says, dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Listen to verse 5. Because. Why is all this going to happen? Because Abraham obeyed my voice. It's the obedience of faith. You know what James, the scripture tells us, faith without works is dead. What is the work of faith? Obedience. See? And so when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he comes, and when Thomas isn't there, Thomas said, unless I stick my hand in his side and fingers in the nose, I won't believe. Jesus shows up and says, blessed are those, Thomas, who believe that though they haven't seen. Why? Because I told you believe. The command is to believe. So because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. What was the motivation of his obedience? Faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place with which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I could point to so many examples, but the one coming to mind right now is when Carl had this interview, which he was late for. And in his IT profession and all of that, when at the stage that this interview was at, it was a non-starter. He was late. The whole function was over. The hiring and all that was done. But something inside of him kept saying, go anyhow, go. And he went. And though he got there late, the guy interviewed him and said, you're exactly what we've been looking for. And hired him on the spot. Why? Because he obeyed the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when you obey, you're going to get what God says. I mean, he's saying it. Come on, right? And so this happens in our lives. I know so many examples. We could just go on and on and on. What has Jesus told you to do? What has Jesus told me to do? Oh, wow. So Luke, we're still in chapter 17. Let me read that latter part of verse 14. So he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. You know, here we have a picture of, again, I said that leprosy is like sin. When Christ saves you, he says, go. Right? But the moment he says, go, you're not completely free of your sin. Come on. Somebody just said, well, Pastor, I ain't completely free of mine right now. Well, of course not, because we're still going. I don't know about you, but I'm still going. We're still going. Keep going. What did he say? He said, go show yourself to the priest. We're going to get there in a second. How much time I got? Oh, my goodness. Okay, keep the food on the warmers. We're going to be all right. Verse 15, he says, and one of them, Listen, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. Now, remember the command. The command was, go show yourself to the priest. But when one saw he was healed, he turned around. Oh, wow. He turned around. Oh, wait, but Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. But he turned around. In seeming, now it wasn't defiance of Jesus' command, but he returned to give thanks. He returned because of gratitude, right? So there's a bit of delay seemingly in his, not in his obedience, but in his getting to the priest. We'll see why in a little bit. So when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, we understand this. Before you can be thankful for anything, you've got to recognize that you've been a beneficiary of favor from somebody. You have to recognize that you're a whole lot better off after what they did for you than you were before. And so this man, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. Now, I don't know what the other nine were thinking. Maybe they thought that if I turn back, maybe the leprosy will come back. I don't know what they're thinking. But they had to have seen that they were healed too. Right? Right? Gratitude will cause a person to reciprocate. Gratitude will cause a person to reciprocate. In other words, when you receive something from someone, we all experience it. There's an immediate, you want to, oh, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And so that's what this man was feeling, right? So he wanted to reciprocate. He wanted to go back or respond to the one who did him good. Jesus did something for me now, and I'm going to do something in thanks to him and for him. Would be his going on in his mind. So he shouted praises to God. He says with a loud voice. Now, I know some people have a problem with loudness, but let me tell you something. When somebody does something good for you, it would be the equivalent of you being locked up in jail. And somebody coming and testifying and said, no, he didn't do it. He was with me the whole time. He didn't do it. And they open up the prison doors and let you out. Let me tell you something. Hey! Woo! Oh, yeah, let me tell you what. Oh, my goodness. We're going to dance. We're going to shout. I got something to say. Yeah. And with a loud voice. I remember R.W. Shambach, the evangelist I got saved under, he would talk all the time, say, he'd go over, he was in Tom McCann one day buying some shoes. Tom McCann's old shoe store, not around anymore, and ran up into one of them sisters from the church over in the back aisle of the shoe store. She got to testify, and he went, had a glory fit up there in the aisles. He said, I don't know, but we about to have church up in here. And so he just lost himself in praises to God because of the good things that God was doing. And so for this man, you remember, they had no problem lifting up their voice when they were sick. Jesus, have mercy. And so now when it comes time to give thanks, I don't have no problem lifting up my voice to give thanks to my Savior. Lord, make it that way when we get out here and start talking about what you've done, who you are. Help us to lift up our voices. Luke 19, a couple chapters over, when Jesus was going into Jerusalem, the children began to, a whole multitude began to rejoice and praise God, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the high priest and so forth said, quiet these people down. And Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks, they're going to take up their cause. So come on now. And so he said, no, they need to say what they're saying. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. So what we see this man doing, we see him in verse 16. He fell down on his face, listen, at his feet. At his feet. Now, what we notice is that the nine lepers saw Jesus from afar. But the one who gave thanks came to his feet. What are we saying? Thankfulness brings you closer to Jesus. thankfulness brings you closer to Jesus. Listen, listen. Thankfulness, it builds relationship. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's all right. Let me back up a little bit. The reason that we give thanks, listen, remembering that this leper here now is akin to the one who is defiled by sin, okay? We give God thanks for many things, but nothing at any time ever more than his salvation, than when he washed our sins at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Can I tell you that people, you may not consider it happy, but I can tell you that people see something in you. They see Christ. Come on. I'm sure you have had somebody say to you, why are you so, you're just always even keel. You're not depressed. You don't, what is it about you? It's Jesus. It's his holy presence. And so we give God thanks because as former lepers, our sin, come on, has been healed past, present and future, right? So, verse 17 says, so Jesus answered and said, and this is interesting to me, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? In other words, Jesus recognizes when people are not thankful. I didn't say it. He said it. He said, were there not 10? Didn't I cleanse 10? But where are the 9? Where are we in thanks, in our thanks to God for the multitudes of his mercies? You know what? Two things are true. There will always be something to complain about. But there will always be something to give thanks to God about. It's our choice. It's our choice. Choose. Choose. Come on. Every day, at work, at home, with the kids, wherever it is, there'll always be something to complain about, but there'll always be something to give God thanks about. Make up your mind. Choose you this day whom you're going to praise. Choose which way you're going. But I tell you what, I have almost fallen down the steps so many times at work that I've constantly said, thank you, Jesus. When I pick up this machine and I step down the step and I don't hit that hose, thank you, Jesus. I step down the step. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You don't understand. I'm telling the truth. Because I have meandered down some stairways before. Okay? I don't know if you have. But you see, when you've done it enough times and you realize there's someone looking over you, you'll give him thanks. Jesus or God questions our ungratefulness. Notice how rich God is in healing all 10, but how poor the lepers, the 9, were in not giving thanks. Watch this. 10 had faith, but 1 had gratitude. Gratitude is rarer than faith in this instance. Gratitude is rarer than faith. 10 had faith, 1 had gratitude. What was Jesus looking for? Yes, he was looking for faith, but coupled with faith, faith believes God is who he says he is. Thanks follows up. It says, yes, you are. Thank you that you are who you say you are. All right, now, verse 18 and 19, we're down to the last two scriptures. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? This man was a Samaritan. Remember now, he told all 10 to go to the priest. Jesus was even pointing that Samaritan to the fact that salvation is of the Jews. Because Samaritans, they had their own, they had Mount Gerizim. They met on the old mountain where the blessing in the Old Testament was. That's where they met. Okay? They didn't recognize Jerusalem, not the Samaritans. Unless he was a proselyte, right? And so he says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise. Jesus said to this one, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Thankfulness builds relationship. Thankfulness builds relationship. At our business, there is a company next door to us. And since I'm the only one there during the week, I place an order with and have it come through FedEx or UPS. I'm not there when it comes. But this company next door to me, they, unbeknownst to me, they will just sign for it and keep it for me. And so when I get back, and I know I have a delivery coming, and I'm like, Lord, I hope I get back before FedEx gets there or whatever. And I get back, and there's the note on the door. And I'm like, man, I missed them. And I walk up, and I look at the note, and it says, delivered at American Windows, the company next door to me. And I went over there and just walked in and said, man, listen. Man, I just got to thank you guys. Man, you all just... y'all take all my deliveries. And I mean, one was, it was 20 boxes. And they took them all and had them there waiting for me. And I went over and thanked them. And I said, man, can I buy you some donuts? Or can I, you know, because thankful gratitude wants to reciprocate. When somebody does something good that you want to do. And he says, well, you know, no, and all this. So I'm talking to my wife. And my wife, as you might know, likes to cook. And she says, honey, I ought to bake them some cookies. And I said, oh, baby. Woo, yeah. Now, that's what you ought to do, but you ought to put me a can away first, you know, on the side. But yeah, that's what you ought to do, is that you need to bake them some cookies. And so she went and had it, she had it done in no time and baked them some cookies. And I walked in and set this huge plate of cookies on the table, and I just let one of them know, and I just left. And so the next day, I had some left over, so I took some over there. They said, Pat, man, let me tell you something. I said, man, your wife can bake some cookies, man. They said, we ate the whole plate. And the owner of the business said, man, I took some home to my daughter, and she was like, oh, Dad, these are great, on. And what I share that to say this, that thankfulness builds relationship. See, because we're standing there talking about all kinds of things there only because I'm trying to say thank you. Thank you. Now, so what we see is this. The nine other lepers missed out on an opportunity to meet Jesus because of their ungratefulness. Remember, the nine are going to the priest, but the one is at the feet of Jesus. Okay, remember that, right? Although the nine received much, they didn't give anything in return. Now listen, the 10 lepers heard Jesus address them. The one healed Samaritan heard Jesus address him. Now, it's one thing when Jesus is talking to a group of you. It's totally different when Jesus is talking to you eye to eye. That's what the one got. Why? Simply because of gratitude. And beloved, if you haven't utilized the prayer of thanksgiving, do it. I mean, go to prayer. Don't ask for anything. It's not up there. It is not to ask for anything. Listen, the prayer of thanksgiving is for, I got everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. You just provide so much, right? So, the Samaritan heard the words of Jesus up close. The nine lepers heard Jesus from afar. How do you want to hear Jesus? How do you want to hear? Gratitude brings you close to Jesus. Gratitude. And then lastly, Jesus told the 10 lepers to go to the priests, plural. go to the priests. And you know why there was the Aaronic priesthood, and the son, the firstborn son, became the priest after the father. Why? Because it was not an everlasting priesthood. Because Aaron died, and Eleazar died, and so forth, and so on. Jesus told the 10 lepers to go to the priest, but he told the one, go your way. Go your way. And when I look at that, I say to myself sometimes, Lord, why, you know, why did you tell him to go his way? Well, if you think about it, Jesus told the 9, he told all 10 to go to the priest, but the one did go to the priest. Because who was Jesus? He was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110. So in fact, the one made it to the priest. And after he got done seeing the priest said, go your way. Go your way because you're giving thanks to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we magnify you. Father, we thank you. And Father, we worship you. We thank you for your word that comes to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for his eternal sacrifice. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your care, oh God. Lord, your compassions that never fail, that are over our life each and every day, all day long. And Father, we thank you for it, oh God. Now we ask, Lord, for the blessing of this word, Lord, as it ministers life to our heart. Father, we ask blessings over our time of fellowship, blessing over the food that we're about to receive, and blessing, Lord, over every family represented in this church right now. And we ask it all in the holy and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.